that obviously Tim's not up here. We're taking a two-week break from our regular series. We're going to talk about expected versus observed, okay, for these 2 weeks. What to be expected and what is observed. So this week, as we talk about things expected, I got a question first for those that are part of junior church. All right, so I need you to pay attention to me. I want you to tell me something that you have expected for maybe a holiday, Christmas, a birthday. Can you tell me something that you expected to happen or maybe to get? What is something that you expected? Charlie? Presents. That is pretty generic. Okay. Presents in general. Okay. Someone else? Sabrina. She just turned 5. So she expected to turn 5 on her birthday, and she did. Okay. Yeah, William? An airplane. A real airplane? A big airplane? Okay, Dad. Expectations are set high. You can see some of this. Okay. I'm saying Natalie. I'm going, I just saw Natalie. Maddie. Oh, see a jet show, okay, or see some jets going off. All right, so we expect things, and so I come into the Christmas season, and I expect headaches, okay? I got one this morning. I actually have a headache right now, so we're probably going to end early. I expect, what do you expect, all right? I'm looking at you. What do you expect to happen when you finish school? A lot more sleep. Okay, that's a good one. What about you, Reagan?
No homework, hopefully.
No homework. Whoa. Well, if you're planning on going to college, I'm just going to let you know it's probably not going to end. We have expectations, don't we? Sometimes we go to the holidays with certain expectations. Wake up on Christmas morning, right? There might be a family tradition or a personal tradition that you've had that you expect to take place. Right, so mom and dad want to sleep in, the kids don't. There are certain expectations that everybody has. Well, as we come and we know the true meaning of Christmas and what it is, we recognize that sometimes our expectations are wrong. What we expect to happen is not really what happens or really what should happen. Now, Jesus came, and we know that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ, the New Testament word for Messiah. Is the Christ. And so as we think through what does it mean to be this Messiah, I want us to interact on this. So Messiah, as we look at Messiah in its basic sense, the term Messiah, and I'm reading from the Bible dictionary here, the Messiah refers to a person who has been consecrated to a high office by ceremonial anointing with oil. So in the ancient world, priests and kings were anointed as reflected in 1 Kings 19 as well as in Psalm 133. So in the Old Testament, it was an anointed one, one that was set apart, consecrated for a certain person. And so as the Old Testament unfolds, there's this Messiah figure, someone that the Jews expected to come and to do certain things for them. Just like our expectations for Christmas or a birthday. Right, Sabrina expected to turn 5, and it took place. She expected that, but she was longing for something. She was longing to turn 5, and I remember that when I turned 40 this last year, this last year. You know, I knew it was coming, and there were certain indications emotionally that 40 was coming, physiologically that 40 was coming as well, and that it went. But there's these expectations, these things leading up to and saying, I know that this is going to take place, or we expect this to take place. And so what did the Jews, what did they think about this coming Messiah, Jesus? See, the Jews hoped for the advent of the Messiah, and they didn't just hope for this Messiah to come as a king like David. You all know that David was the king. So as David was the king, Jesus was coming from the line of David. Jesus was coming from his line. But it started long, long before that. In a passage that Pastor Tim had preached about. It started back in Genesis 3:15. In Genesis 3:15, and I'll read, since we've all worked through this passage, I just read it out loud. Genesis 3:15. So in the Lord talking to Satan after the fall, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. This offspring, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. A coming deliverer, one set apart for a certain person. The promise of the Messiah was given long before David. Matter of fact, as you think about that promise, that someone would come to be able to stamp out and stand against Satan, put him under his heel. There was more that was given. There was more. He declares that God will place hostility between the serpent and the woman. In the fullness of time, the seed of the woman inflicts a fatal blow, the dictionary here says, a fatal blow to the head of the serpent. So as we think through this definition of what a Messiah will do and the definition of what a Messiah is for an Old Testament saint, someone from the Old Testament, it is someone who has been set apart to figure out the way to do away with what Satan introduced to Adam and Eve. To crush the head of the serpent. Later on in Genesis, we actually are told that it's going to come from the line of Shem. And then more specifically, we're told towards the end of Genesis that it's actually from Abraham. So Scripture starts unfolding, and the Old Testament is a book of history, and as it unfolds, it tells us more and more more about this expectation, this Messiah. Do you know that I expected something when I was younger? Bobby, can you guess? It's flat, and it has four wheels. What do you think it was when I was a kid that I...
A go-kart.
That's a great question. That's a great response, but it's not right. Skateboard. It was a skateboard. It's the same one I have at the house right now that I dare not get on. I wanted a skateboard. And as I decided, I knew I needed a new skateboard, and I wanted the skateboard. As I started learning more and more about skating, I figured out that I wanted gull-wing trucks. That's the bottom part that the wheels attached to. And Wes here is our expert skater, okay? He was an actual expert. He had, like deals and all that kind of stuff with skate shops and all of that. So I'm just talking like I don't know what I'm talking about. He knows what he's talking about. But I wanted a skateboard when I was younger. And I figured out what kind of GNC wheels that I wanted and a Neil Blunder board. I started adding layers to what I wanted. So this Christmas request started with, oh, I want a new skateboard. But this skateboard should have these kind of trucks. This skateboard really needs to have the GNC wheels, and it should have German bearings and a Neil Blunder board, and I would like the clear no-skid stuff that you put on the top, okay? And you all look at me like I have no idea what I'm talking about. But those are the things, and as my expectations unfolded, there were more details unfolded of what I was expecting. Then I saw it actually under my parents' bed, and so my expectation was observed before I got it. But the fact is that, and I do not hide anything. I just realized my kids were in here. There's nothing under my bed. Do not go looking. Okay. But do you see the idea of the expectation in the Old Testament? Molly, does that make sense? As we think through what it means to be Jesus in the New Testament, it started with just saying that this person is going to crush Satan. But then it starts unfolding, and it gives out details of who this Messiah is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about this Messiah and four words about this Messiah, this Christ, this anointed one that is coming. Four words, all right? So if you can get these words for me. So this future Messiah, he is going to be an anointed. Word one, number one is king, all right? King. Bobby, you have an outline book. I don't see you have it open. All right, an outline king. So he is anointed king. So we turn to Genesis 49. You can write these down. I'm going to be jumping to a lot of passages. So if you want to write them down and look at them this week, we're really going to just explore and read a lot of the scriptures, okay? So if you wanted to follow along, you can turn quickly or you can just listen to me. But Genesis 49 verse 10 says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him." So talking about this through the line of Abraham, talking about the scepter shall not depart from Judah until what? Nor the ruler's staff from between his feet until tribute comes to him. Start laying out a little bit of the kingliness of this. And so actually turn to Isaiah 16 as we see how these pieces come together. Remember, the first word is king. The Messiah is going to come as a king. Isaiah chapter 16, verse number 5. "Then a throne will be established in steadfast love, and on it will sit in faithfulness in the tent of David, one who judges and seeks justice and is swift to do justice." I'm going to turn to a few other passages. Psalm 110. As we think through what does it mean for this coming one who's going to crush the head of Satan, what is he going to be like? Well, he's going to be a king. Psalm 110. Now follow along here. You remember when I read from Genesis chapter 3 and I talked about how he is going to crush the head of Satan? So Psalm 110 verse 1 and 2 says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Until I make your enemies your footstool. And that's what Jesus did as the coming Messiah. "The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies." Do you realize that this coming Jesus who we celebrate, and in the Old Testament, they didn't have Jesus yet. They didn't have the Messiah. But they knew that he was going to be kingly. He was going to rule. He was going to have the scepter. This was the King of Kings. Let's look at another psalm, Psalm 132. Referencing many of these passages that are not familiar with us in regards to the Messiah. Psalm 132, verse 11. Says, "The Lord swore to David a sure oath from which he will not turn back. One, quote, one of the sons of your body I will set on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their sons also forever shall sit on your throne." So we see that this Messiah, he is anointed. Remember, to be a Messiah is to be anointed, that is set apart. That's what they did. By the way, who knows what anointed means? What does it mean to anoint? Charlie, what does it mean to anoint? Oh, they put oil on top of them, okay? So that was the act of them anointing. It was a way to be able to demonstrate the consecration, the way that we're saying this man is special for us in this way. And they would anoint him. So setting apart, anointing, that's how they did it. So Jesus is going to be the Messiah, but in the Old Testament they didn't know Jesus was there yet. And the expectations was that he was going to be a future anointed. And what was the word, Molly, the first word? We have it? King. Oh, Maddie, you have it? King. Good. He's going to be our anointed king. But not only king, he is going to be, number two, okay, future anointed priest. Priest. P-R-I-E-S-T. He is going to be priest. So we were back in Psalm 110. We're going to turn back to there. Psalm 110, where it says, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." That whole idea of Jesus coming as a conquering king. Well, verse number 4. He says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." He assigns in Psalm 110, this is very interesting, he assigns in this messianic psalm, that means this psalm about the Messiah. Most of the psalms are not just written about the coming Messiah, but this is written about the Messiah. He is king, but then he says he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, as adults, we've been studying Melchizedek, and Pastor Tim has taken us through this idea of Melchizedek, one to whom Abraham was paying tribute, who was greater than Abraham, who had his own priestly line separate from that of Abraham. He is the priest after the order of Melchizedek. Actually, let's look at in Zechariah as well, chapter 6. It's funny that when I mention Genesis, I hear the Bible's turning, and I mention Zechariah, and they're like, okay, where's that at? Well, right, it's right at the end of the New Testament, or Old Testament. Obviously, I don't know where it's at either. It's at the end of the Old Testament, okay? So right before Malachi. Wait, that's not right either, is it? Yeah, okay, I'm right. Sorry, I started second-guessing myself. I read your faces, and some of you are like, huh? Okay. So Zechariah, we're going to look in chapter 6, verse 13. "It is he who shall build the temple of the Lord and shall bear royal honor and shall sit and rule on his throne. And there shall be a priest on his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both." Talking about this in the kingly role of the Messiah, he has both the office of the king and the office of the priest. This Messiah is not simply going to be a king. Did you know in the Old Testament, right, as Charlie had pointed out to all of us, they anointed a king. Well, this is not simply going to be an anointed king. This is going to be an anointed priest. That's what they expected. That's what the Old Testament lays out as the expectation. So, Jesus, the Messiah, he is going to be a future anointed, what's the first word? King, and he's going to be what? Future anointed, yes, Lucy. Yes, priest. Future anointed priest. But here's the third one, and here's the third word, okay? That's prophet. So, he's going to be the king, anointed king, anointed priest, and anointed prophet. So let's look at the book of Isaiah. Do you notice how we're turning to all of these passages in the Isaiah across the minor prophets, across the major prophets, in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, in the book of Psalms? We have the expectation of of Israel. Okay, this is not simply Isaiah. A lot of the conversation that we're going to have from right now on about this category and the next centers around Isaiah. He's like the Messiah prophet, okay? A lot of his writing about this coming Messiah, but this is across the board. This has been laid out just like the skateboard started with a blank skateboard and said, "You know what I want on that skateboard?" The expectations of the kind of wheels, the expectation is building for what this Messiah will be. He'll be the king, he'll be a priest, and he'll be a future anointed prophet. So in Isaiah 61, Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." So the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. Look at also Deuteronomy. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak. He shall speak in my name. He shall speak to them all that I commanded him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Jesus, the Messiah, he came. The expectation was set in the Old Testament that he was the king and the priest, but also that he was a prophet. Can anyone tell me of an instance where Jesus gave even a prophecy in the New Testament? Who has an illustration of that? Knew what was going to be happening, foretold, spoke forward the word of the Lord. Yes, Molly. After he ascended, the first three chapters are from Jesus. But Jesus came as a prophet. And did you know that was like one of the things that people actually they latched onto? That when Jesus came, they said, well, surely you are a what? A prophet. They didn't say, surely you are a king. But he was even recognized as the prophet. Well, he is telling us things that we have not heard. You remember when Jesus was about to die and he told his disciples different prophecies. He told Peter that he was going to deny him three different times. And did Peter deny Jesus denied Peter after the crow cried three different times? Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. He denied Jesus three times after the crow cried. Man, we're in the Old Testament, right? All right. The fact is that Jesus was a prophet, and that was the thing that he was acknowledged for in the New Testament. But did you know that you can't accept, Molly, Abby, you cannot just accept one aspect of who this Messiah is, because this Messiah is coming, and there's an expectation of who he is, and you either accept him for all of who he is, or you deny who he is as Messiah. Because he needs to be the king, he needs to be a priest, he needs to be the prophet. But also, I want us to look at he will be the servant. He will be a servant of God. So, as we look at the servant of the Lord, we're going to jump to a couple different passages. But you remember in the, I'm going to turn back to Zechariah. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Actually, we read chapter 6. This is for another talking about Messiah. So we'll read this one. I failed to read this earlier because we have so many passages. But this is Zechariah 9:9. So he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he." Now think about that. This is talking about who this Messiah is. The king is coming. What if the king were, if there were to be a king here in America and the king would be coming down this aisle, what would you do? You would be like, wow, and like you would be acting humbly towards this king, right? Right? If this king was coming over and say, Sabrina, say the king came over to your house, Sabrina. What would you say if a king came to your house? I know. You don't know what to say to a king, right? I mean, this is the king. And you're thinking, wow, you would try to offer him a gift maybe, right? You would say, would you like to drink from my special cup? Would you like, you can have my seat at the table. So in 9, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. But then he says this verse, this next part. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. The king is coming, but he's coming as a servant. He's coming in humility. I turn to Isaiah, the passages that I referenced. We're going to jump to four passages. These are considered the suffering servant passages of Isaiah, okay? Talking about Christ as the servant, the Messiah who is a suffering servant. So in Isaiah 42, verse 1 through 7, so we read this morning, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says the Lord, the creator of heavens, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon." Man, this is the kind of king. This is the kind of priest. This is the kind of prophet. This Messiah is coming to give justice to those who are oppressed, to lift the bondage over people. He's coming as a servant, and that was our fourth word, okay? If you're writing down those words, it's servant. So he's our king, he's our priest, he's a prophet, and he's the servant. Let's look at another one, just a couple chapters ahead, 49. Isaiah 49. "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away." Now drop down to verse 5. "And now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says," and he's quoting here, "it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light of the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer." Now listen to this. "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." This one who nations will even bow down to, but who is abhorred by the nations, who has come as a servant. One chapter ahead, in chapter 50, verse number 4. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turn not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting." Are you picking up on some of these things talking about Jesus when he was on the cross? and the plucking of the beard and the spitting and all of these. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Talking about the vindication of it. Have you picked up on the passage that we are memorizing together? He humbled himself, and then what happened to Christ? He's vindicated, still sitting on his throne as the Messiah, who is king, who is priest, who is prophet, but also came as a servant. And then in our last passage, we turn two chapters ahead, chapter 52. Thinking about knowing, now remember in the Old Testament, they didn't know who Jesus was yet, right? Bobby, isn't that right? They didn't know who Jesus was, but they knew the kind of person that he should be like, the characteristics as a king, a prophet, a priest, servant. He says, behold, my servant, verse 13, behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. And shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. This prophet, the king, and the servant in this passage, as it continues to go down all the way really to the end of chapter 53. So I pick up in 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant. We think about Jesus growing up. Aren't we learning those stories, Kara? Remember when we were learning stories about Jesus and what he was like when he was a kid? The life that he lived, but he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. Matter of fact, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised and we did not esteem him. But he is a servant to us all. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But this is the point that I want us all to know. He was, what does it say? He was wounded for what, Bobby? Do you know? He was wounded for our transgressions. And he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. There was an expectation of what this Messiah was like. And as we close this morning, I want you to think about what you expect for Christmas. Maybe this Christmas is going to be more of a difficult one. Maybe a family is coming in. Maybe family's not here this time. Maybe there's a gift that you were wanting. Okay, a skateboard with GNC wheels and Gullwing trucks, all right? A Neil Blunder board. We have expectations, but what do you expect to know and to see in God this Christmas? I want you to think about that, kids and adults alike, all of us. As we go into this Christmas, sometimes we see Jesus not how we should expect to see him. We see him lying in a manger. We don't see him as our prophet. We don't see him as our priest. We don't see him as the suffering servant that came for us. We don't see him as king. There's expectations. So expectations and observations, expected and observed. Next week as we focus and we look on, what do we observe? Who did Jesus really, who was this Messiah? How did he demonstrate these things? This coming Messiah, the expectation has been sent. And I'm going to read just really from one verse from Matthew 2. And it sets the whole tone for who this Jesus was when he came for us. So in Matthew chapter 2, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. If you were to start with that verse and then go to someone and say, this guy is going to be the prophet or the king, he's going to be the priest, he's going to be the prophet, and he is going to suffer for his people. You know what? I don't think that you would believe it. You would have different expectations. So what are your expectations of Jesus this Christmas? What are you establishing as the focal point of your worship and your focus this morning? Does everybody here know that Jesus died for them? Maddie, did you know that Jesus died for you? Yeah. Lucy, you knew that Jesus died for you. But did you know that the one who died for you came as a king? He came as a priest. He came as a prophet, and he came as a servant. So what I need four kids to tell me, I'm going to ask, who knows what the first thing that Jesus came, the Messiah, the appointed one to come for us, who was he? Maddie. King. The second one, Bobby.
A priest.
Third one. Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. Oh, third. Prophet. And then what about the fourth one? Do you know the fourth one? I see hands in hair and I can't tell who's Charlie. I think your hand's up. Servant. So that's the Jesus. That's the Messiah. As we wake up tomorrow morning and we celebrate the coming of Jesus lying in a manger. He's our priest. He's our king. He's our priest. He's our prophet. And he's our servant. A servant king. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity to look at what the Old Testament people, before Jesus came, what they expected to see, what they expected in their coming king. And Father, all we can say is thank you. Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ in such a lowly state as a suffering servant to take our burdens, to take our iniquities. Father, we know that Jesus came to die, but he came as a king, a prophet, a priest,